Welcome to The Inevitable. This is Motor Trend's new podcast about the future of the automobile. I am Johnny Lieberman, the senior features editor at Motor Trend, and I am joined every week by my co-host, Mr. Ed Lowe.
That's me. I'm the head of editorial for Motor Trend, and boy, do we have an amazing list of guests that we're going to be chatting with.
We've got the godfather of the environmental movement, Ed Begley Jr.
Derek Jenkins, a whole bunch of actors, celebrities, car crazy folks, people from in and outside the industry. Can't wait for you to join us.
We're talking about the future of the car. This means everything from electrified vehicles to cars that drive themselves.
Come check us out. We're on podcastone.com or anywhere else you find your favorite podcasts. We're also on motortrend.com and youtube.com/motortrend.
Do you own? Do you rent your home? Sure you do. And it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing too, because you have so much to do already around your home. Why not make it easy? Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on, Mandy. Get on. Thank you for joining us. I'm Adam Carolla. That is a good doctor, Dr. Drew. Jim Jefferies.
Hey.
Good to see you, Jim.
Thanks for having me.
Everyone loves Jim Jefferies.
Not everyone.
Everyone does, because Jim's funny. The show, Legit, by the way, it airs Thursdays, 10:30, on Fox and...
FX.
Oh, shit. I mean, FX. It's weird. You know what my problem is?
It's just a...
You can't read. You see FX.
Can't read. No, yeah.
There's
no.
There's a letter missing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's part of the problem. No, the abbreviations. We have abbreviations for everything. So if you see Colorado at the end of the... of the city, it just says CO, but yeah, you would say Colorado.
Yeah.
So now I know it sounds like a lame excuse.
It's owned by Fox.
That's
it's all
good
the
enough.
Same
on
company.
FX. That's what I mean. I don't even know what Fox is. Is that just Channel 11 out here? Anyway, Drew's favorite show.
I get sort of on to something. This is the one I'm on right now. I love Legit.
Drew is on a Legit. I saw you being very funny on Jimmy Kimmel Live talking about Legit and talking about casting DJ Qualls as the special needs partner and how that process went, and I thought it'd be interesting to talk about.
Well, I also, just quickly on a note on that, I also talked about my mother being fat and getting deep vein thrombosis on a boat, and which is true. But
on a cruise ship.
Yeah,
she wasn't out crabbing.
Yeah. She was laying in bed too long. That's right. She was relaxing too hard, and she didn't move, and her legs clotted up. But which this is the weird thing about being foreign is I go, okay, well, they get Letterman in Australia and Leno, but they don't get Kimmel. Right, so right. I can say what I want. I always forget about the internet.
Yeah.
And my mother rings up crying, going, "You just told the whole world that I was fat. And
oh.
I said, "Well, you are, Mom. I didn't make the story up."
Well, not only, you see, what you're saying is, like, what you didn't count on is the internet. But yeah, what you really didn't count on is all the assholes out there that love to share the bad news with everybody.
Exactly.
And those people need to be rounded up, put on an island, and then we do a nuclear test.
Well,
sort of Bikini Island
style.
The
asshole who did
them.
That was my brother. Who forwarded to my mom and
which
said,
brother? The cop or the businessman?
The businessman, yeah. He forwarded on. But the thing is,
did he review it first?
He watched it. He had a great time. And he said to me in a sneaky way, he goes, "I thought Mum would love it."
Yeah.
And I said, "Why would she like that? I'm talking about her being too fat to move on a boat."
But you said that on the TV show too, though.
Yeah.
She doesn't watch the TV show?
No, the TV show doesn't air in Australia.
She doesn't watch that. She doesn't watch your TV episodes.
Oh, no, what, the episodes. No, I never mentioned that in the episode, did I? I mentioned that she's fat in the episode.
And you were poking at her. She couldn't get out of a chair.
That's a make-believe character on the TV show.
Right,
I can make an argument for that,
okay,
but it's from reality.
Yeah.
But she said she was very upset, and she goes, "You told the whole world." And I said, "I didn't tell the whole world. I told, I don't know how many viewers, maybe with like people watching online, maybe 6 million people saw it. Maybe, I don't know,
right,
half the population of Australia.
Right.
But not the whole world."
I think it's better. Is it better being Australia, big place, smallish population? Is it better being a bigger fish in a smaller pond? Well, actually, a huge pond with almost no fish in it.
Yeah.
Like Australia, like it's cool.
Like you mean like work wise?
Well, no, I'm from here.
Right.
And there's never been, I've never done an interview with a local newspaper that says local boy makes good.
Oh, yes.
You know what I mean? Because I'm from here, nobody gives a shit.
Yes.
If you're from, it's a weird thing. And I'll tell you.
Gave me, I did a cross to a morning show in Australia, and they did the one with the TV screen behind us with it's the Hollywood sign and a few palm trees mm-hmm, waving. Mm-hmm. Like, and they asked me what I thought of the Oscars because it was Oscar week because I was now their LA correspondent for Australia. And my mother watched it, and she rang up, and she said, oh, it looks like the weather's nice in L.A. today. And it really was just a TV screen behind me, right. And I was in a closet.
Yeah.
Right, with just an earpiece in and one camera. It was the most basic system ever. But, yeah, it is that weird thing that I was never big in Australia. My career took off in the U.K., and then I came over here, and then it's only now that I'm getting sort of – I'm selling tickets in Australia or anything like that. But it is
– but it's a nice homecoming now,
you do
right?
get articles, yeah, homeboy – like done good. Yeah, local
you,
boy done
you
good.
You know it was a weird one where I noticed it. It was very interesting. Probably about 5-6 American Idols ago, they had the beautiful woman who won it, who's now on that ABC show – I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
You'd have to be Carrie Underwood.
Underwood. Kelly Clarkson.
Carrie Clarkson. No, Carrie
no, it's not the Clarkson or the Underwood. It's the one who stars in that diva show that's on.
Oh, yeah, the opera singer, the dark-haired one girl. Yeah, she has different colored hair.
Yeah, we'll figure.
Tall one.
We'll figure her name out.
She's Smash. Smash.
Yeah, Smash. She's yeah. a Smash. Yeah. Okay, she's beautiful. And I know she's from where I'm from. Mm. Which is the Valley. She's from Sherman Oaks. I think she went to
Catherine McPhee.
She went to like Notre Dame High School or something. By the way, I know she's from where I'm from because when I interviewed her, I went, "Hey, you're from the Valley. I'm from the Valley." And she went, "Okay." Which, well, no, it's hot chicks do that. They don't go, "Hey, do you know Bob Johnson or what high school?" She didn't ask me what high school I went to or anything. She's like, "Yeah." Like, that's what good-looking people do. Fat people be like, "Who would you go to high school? Who would you play peewee football? Who you know this guy?
Did no, you, ever, you know what that
you
means
ever,
to
you
me.
Ever eat at the Outback Steakhouse over
it
there
means
on Sherman
to me
Way?"
That she was out in the music programs, didn't attach herself to anything or any high school.
No.
It just means she's a hot chick, and so
it
what?
It means she never attached herself to Adam. That's what she said meant by
right.
that. No music
right.
program.
So she went to Notre Dame High School, right? Now, I'm getting back to long form to my local whatever. Mm. Well, one of the kids, so they get down to, they do that thing where they get down to the final three, and they're going back to their hometown. And one of them's from, you know, Louisiana and some, you know, Shreveport or something, you know, some other parts in, you know, Alabama, little city in Alabama. And the whole town turns out,
right,
like the whole fucking mall.
Yeah.
And they show them. They're coming to the mall, and the whole mall is filled. There's, it's you know, it's six stories, and they're hanging over the railing, and they're all going nuts. And the mayor's giving them the key to the city and the whole nine yards. And I remember thinking, what are they going to do with Catherine McPhee? Because she's from here, and no one here gives a fuck.
Yeah.
They're all illegals, or they're all Armenian, and they don't give a fuck. And nobody from around here, again, she's not going to get any local love. I can go to Seattle and sell out the Moore Theater. That's 2,000 seats. I can't sell out the El Portal, which is 375 seats, down the street from where I grew up.
Right. Exactly.
That's how little we give a shit about stuff. It's so funny. So everyone else is at the mall or at the courthouse standing in front of the throngs. It's like they won the Super Bowl, like the next day, you know, like they're having the parade. She went back to Notre Dame and stood in the gymnasium. And I know what they did. They did it like a mandatory, everybody file into the gymnasium like they would do during the school election. And there was like 600 bored kids sitting in the
things. No signs, nothing.
Yeah. She was like, oh, if they were signs, there were one that Simon Cowell painted and handed to everybody there. But there's zero enthusiasm. And that's kind of what this town is.
It is hard to sell tickets here. I sell double the amount of tickets in any other city than I do in LA.
Easily, right?
Yeah, easy.
And what is that, Drew?
It's just we're too cool for school here. Also, there's so many options, too much going on, so many distractions.
I think you can see a lot of quality, especially when it comes to stand-up, you can see a lot of big-name stand-up comedians for free. just popping in, because I go do the clubs when I want to work out new material, and I think you get desensitized to celebrity or someone coming to your town.
Right. Yeah, also, my theory, too, is half of Los Angeles doesn't speak English. Like, I mean, I'm talking about half. I'm not talking about 25%. I mean, if they don't speak English, they're not interested. I mean, you go out. I'll put it to you this way.
Okay.
You go out and in Pittsburgh when the Steelers are playing, and they're playing in the Super Bowl or the playoffs, the streets are empty.
Yeah.
There's nobody fucking, there's no business going on. Right. Everyone's either at a sports bar or at home watching their Steelers.
Yeah.
If
there's no such identity here for anything.
No, no. It wouldn't matter if it was the Dodgers or the Lakers. They have fans. Yeah. But you'd go out in the street, you'd walk down Hollywood Boulevard, there'd be the same people standing out there.
Yeah, you have no idea.
Same, you'd have no idea. This you did that in Boston, the streets would be empty.
I remember when the Lakers won their last championship, I was walking down the road and I saw like one guy in a Kobe Bryant jersey just going, "Woo!"
And that was Kobe Bryant.
I said, "What's happened?" He goes, "Well, you just won the whole lot." I went, "Oh, good. Good. It's nice to be part of this."
Yeah. Yeah. So we're two. There were a million different cultures. Nobody gives a shit. And same with comedy. And it's sad.
It's like that whole, like, the world's changing away. Like when the Beatles sang on Ed Sullivan, that was the lowest rate of crime that America ever had.
That night.
Yeah. That because everyone stayed home to watch it, even the criminals.
Right.
And we just don't have shit like that anymore.
No.
People's tastes are so. It used to be back in the day, you could actually say, this is what we all like right now.
Right.
No.
Yeah, you can't do that anymore. And then some Gangnam Style thing pops up, and then it realized, oh my God, if we all do agree on something, it's shit. So I'd say it's worse than not agreeing on something. It's twice a year we do agree on a piece of shit.
I got that way with my niece the other day. My niece has gone One Direction crazy. The boy band, Wonder. Yeah. Right. That's all she cares about.
She's like 12, 11? Sure.
Yeah, she's 12.
Yeah.
And her whole room's covered in One Direction. She had a huge One Direction onesie that she wears that she thinks is, I think it's weird for a kid. But anyway.
But it's a turn-on for a lot of the faculty at the school.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And she's got One Direction nail polish where it says 1D across the thing.
Right. Wow.
Anyway, I had that moment where I felt like... Maybe I shouldn't do it because I was saying, you'll be so embarrassed by this in a few years. But how many people said that to kids when they were really into the Beatles? How many parents went, this passing fad?
Yeah.
So I felt really old going, is this what you're listening to now? Is it?
Hey. Well, it is interesting.
It is shit, though, One Direction.
Well, that's the whole thing. Like, the Beatles aren't shit.
Well, and I think people were confused. Parents probably were confused by the Beatlemania. They didn't have a frame of reference.
It's also weird.
Like, what the hell
also
is this?
Weird.
Yeah. You did the three generations of One Direction-like phenomenon.
Exactly.
It's weird when things have a ebb and a flow to them. Like, you take Elvis. Like, so Elvis comes out, and then everyone is into Elvis, and then some... Jim Jeffries' relative that's 40, 50, 80 years hence comes in and says, yeah, you're going to seem like an ass. But now you're not an ass for being into Elvis. But then Elvis turns into Elvis, fat Elvis, who's playing Vegas Elvis. Yeah. And now you are an ass if you're worshiping at the altar of that Elvis. Although
but
I
then you're super cool when you come back around to Elvis.
Well,
Elvis early stuff.
Let me say this. How many people, and this is why... I forced everyone to see Siegfried and Roy when I was in Vegas many years ago. How many people in 1976, when somebody was in Vegas, said, let's go see Elvis, and the group went, that fat old dude, man,
totally.
No way, because there's a band called the Strawberry Alarm Clock,
and
they're what's happening.
Do you know,
now.
I was at the Hilton International Hotel.
True.
But listen,
had to yell no in the middle of someone's joke.
I was gonna, not only that.
It takes to work.
Yeah.
You want to finish it?
Yeah. All right. Yeah, no.
I was actually staying at the Hilton International when Elvis was performing there.
Uh-huh.
And so I was like a 13-year-old kid, maybe I was 14, and he looked like this bizarre relic that you couldn't understand why any – there was excitement, but the excitement seemed to be around the sort of 30, 40-year-old set, which was already in 1960, whatever that was, 67. So, well, maybe 70.
Yeah.
We're sort of way out, man. You know, this we've been through 1968, 1969. Mm-hmm. There was a generation gap.
The generation gap, man.
Yeah, and these people were into Elvis, man, and that was weird because I was into the Doors and the Rolling Stones, man. That was cool in 1970.
Right.
Not, it was past the Strawberry Alarm Clock and all that.
All we were getting I didn't get the exact fucking band.
I'm just
saying. Shit on my joke. No.
I've got one Elvis story. It's not a great story. But
Cue
it's my,
Drew
it's my,
when you want him to yell no,
it's
no,
my,
no.
It's my one Elvis story. I was hosting the NME Awards.
No.
Yes, I was.
Oh.
Too early. Yeah, wait for the right before the punchline.
I was hosting the NME Awards in the El Rey Theatre here when I first got here. And the NME is a magazine in the UK, which is actually where like Elton John met Bernie Taupin, like and the Beatles. It's one of the oldest music magazines in the world. They normally have a music awards in the UK, but none of the American people were showing up, so they decided to have one in America. I'd just gotten here, and I had no career in America whatsoever. But they. From Britain, I was the only comic they saw on the list that they knew. So I got to host this award. So before we go out there, I never hosted nothing. I'm staying there, and I think it's... Mick Jones from The Clash, yeah. Right, is chatting to Alice Cooper. Mm-hmm. And Alice Cooper had mentioned, he was telling a story about meeting Elvis, right? So I was like trying to listen in, just standing a little bit away, and then they said, okay, you got to go get ready. So I never heard the end of the story. So I'm on stage. Mick Jones, Alice Cooper has to come up and present an award, and they go, Artist of the Year is, and then he doesn't have to read the nominations because it's music awards. The screen has to go, Oasis, right. The White Stripes, you know, that right. type of thing, right? So we're standing up there, and it goes, Oasis, the White, and the whole screen just freezes, right? And it starts like glitching a little bit like that. And all I hear in my earpiece is, just fill in some time, Jim.
Oh,
and I'm just standing there with Alice Cooper. He's looking at me. I'm looking at him. And I said, so, you met Elvis, right?
Sure.
And he popped into, yeah, I can tell that story. So he goes, well, it was 1969. I was at the Hilton in Las Vegas, and he was walking down the hall, and then it went, the White Stripes. And then he went, anyway, he pulled a gun on me. So I don't know what happened in between that bit of the story from the beginning to the end, but I know that Elvis pulled a gun on Alice Cooper when he was very young.
How many people would Elvis and or Frank Sinatra shoot in today's society? Meaning, like, when I'm going to an event, and this is a true story, and I have credentials for the event. It was like an X Games thing, and I had full credentials. Mm. And I'm running late, and I'm coming up to the security guy, and there's the barriers. And there's a gap in the barriers, about 2 feet. And I say, yeah, I need to go through your gate and go get to this rally cross thing. And he goes, you got to go down, around, and come back. And there's nobody in line. I'm just looking at 100 yards down worth of barriers, then enter, go on the other side of the barrier, and then walk all the way back. Or you could step aside, and I could just walk straight through where we are right now. You see my credentials and go to the shack, go through the security thing. And he's like, you got to go around. You got to go down, around, enter, and come back. And essentially, walk 100 yards that way, then walk 3 feet in, and then walk 100 yards back, and then see the same guy who then lets you go in. I said, or you could step out of the way. And he's like, sir, you need to enter through. And I just thought, Frank Sinatra would have shot this guy at some point, right? Like Elvis would have shot this guy. Yeah. I mean, all the asshole parking guys you have to deal with, all the asswipe security guys, all the guys who are working the gates. Like, just imagine Frank Sinatra shooting, you know, Ocean's 11 or something, or whatever he's shooting, and he's trying to get onto the gate at Paramount, and he's got that retard in the windbreaker going, how do you spell that last name? No, not on the, like, you can tell he's not even reading the list. Yeah. Like, he'd be shooting people, right?
Yeah, of course he would.
And
they reckon that's why Elvis didn't tour outside of America.
He couldn't
get his gun on international flights or something.
Yeah.
Wow.
He'd be shooting people at airports, like all the, Ms. Sinatra, I need you to do for me right now is go ahead and take your belt off, take your shoes off, take your pants down,
he'd
let me pat
you
down.
You.
He'd be like, that's my flask. I travel with it. Well, sir, we're going to have to ask you to empty that flask. You'd be like, I'll empty it in your fucking eyeball, and then I'll empty my revolver up your ass.
Yeah,
like,
the rhinestones on your jumpsuit are setting off the alarm.
Sure. I'm going to need you to remove the jumpsuit and go ahead and step to the side of me while we wind you down. Like, Elvis, just be shoot. They'd be shooting people, right? I think their first move, I think the first move with, like, the golden flask that he carried as Jack Daniels in, you know, like, Sinatra, like Dean Martin Sinatra, like first move would be like, hey, kid, I like the cut of your jib. And he'd pull out a wad of bills. And he'd do that move with the clip that rich guys do. And he'd peel off like $60. Here you go. Stuff that into his pocket. Thanks, buddy. I like the cut of your jib. And then he'd start walking again. And the guy'd go, sir, sir, what need you do for me right now? And then he'd go, whoop. We just settled this, didn't we? So, I don't get what I'm going to need you to dump the contents of that out. And by the way, you give me the $60 violates federal regulations for. And he'd be like, what the? Do I have to shoot everybody? Go get your manager so I can shoot them.
Have you flown domestically in another country recently?
No, I have. I have not.
It's a world of difference. I've lived here for 4 years and I got so used to it that I just forgot how it was. I went and gigged in Australia. And you go up, this is how you go on a domestic flight in Australia, so Sydney to Melbourne. You go up, you put your name in the machine, they give you the ticket, it also prints your bag thing, you put the bag thing on yourself, and there's a conveyor belt underneath the machine, and it goes.
Yeah.
And then I walk up to the gate bit, and the lady's asking for tickets, and I'm showing my ID like a fucking simpleton.
Right.
Right? I'm just, here's my ID. And the lady literally went to me, she goes, what are you doing? And I said, here's my ID. And she goes, why are you showing me your ID? I just need to know what gate you're going to. And I said, what do you mean, why am I showing your ID? This is a plane. Like, I was bemused by it.
Sure.
And she said to me, would showing me your ID stop you from being a terrorist? And I said, I guess it wouldn't. I'd be dead if I smashed. No, I guess it wouldn't. She goes, just get through. I start taking off my shoes in this line, and everyone's looking at me like I'm a madman.
Yeah. Sure.
Right? And the guy's like, what are you taking your shoes off for, mate? And I said, I don't know.
Right.
And then you get on the flights, the domestic European flights, they like serve you with silverware and these nice meals and things in economy. And they're nice as hell.
I was sculling my water at the gate like an idiot.
Yeah. Oh,
and,
listen.
And pulling my computer out, he goes, look, mate, how many bombs do you think you have? Just put them away. Come on, keep this line moving.
And by the way, they're calling you Jim. They probably knew you, hey, Mr. Jeffries. Because they know him, they let him move on through. It's
true.
Jim Jeffries, yeah.
There is going to be some sort of syndrome that we have in the future. Like, you know, there's a repetitive motion thing or whatever. Some of these things take a few years to show up. People that do data entry and have to sit in front
like
of a computer screen for, but it shows up 10 years later.
Yeah.
There's going to be something called traveler's liver where you've chugged, because I do that thing where it's like I've a bottle of water that I brought from the hotel room, but it costs $4 because it was on display, like it's like they, you know, it's backlit, there's arrows pointing to it, you know, it's, it comes in a hand blown bottle, you know, it's called Vox, it's, you know, it's got I'll be goddamn if I'm gonna take two sips off of this thing and throw it away because I'm throwing away four bucks worth of water. So I do the move. It doesn't matter how full I am. I will chug whatever I'm chugging before I toss it. And sometimes I'll have a couple of waters with me, and it's just two-fisted water chugging. There's going to be something called traveler's...
brain edema.
Your brain starts floating
because
you've overhydrated yourself because you've chugged too much liquid
and you're hopping
in the security line.
And you're hopping on one leg, taking a shoe off whilst moving sideways.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of torn ACLs, too, going on. I don't know why, for me, the belt, I hate the belt.
Me too.
The belt pisses me off the worst because of the threading and the re-threading part of the...
And that when you add that to the shoe, it's the combo of the belt and the shoe that's just intolerable.
Also...
It's also I pride myself on how good I can do it, though. I look at other people who can't take their belt and shoes off really quickly, like they're idiots.
But it's the getting on part that's the pain in the ass.
Yeah,
it's
putting
them well, first off, it's going to turn us, like... If I'm ever, you know, thugs encounter me in the street, the belt is coming off, you know, and turn into a weapon like Zorro. Because I'll be able to
whip, done you of service,
I'll
you're
whip
saying.
That thing out. Then I'll take the shoes and use them like throwing stars. Chug a bottle of water in between.
Do you ever watch that Locked Up Abroad show where they just...
Yeah.
I love that show where it's just like they're carrying heroin and then they're spending like 7 years in a Thailand prison or something like that. Now I play a game with myself thinking every time I get through, I think, I could have got the drugs through that time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's what I go through in my head. I go, yeah, I made it through that time. And
not
now,
sure
my,
that's
now
good.
I don't, sure. I don't carry drugs through the airport, but now that I've got the baby... That's my great drug smuggling thing.
Oh, yeah.
No one ever checks
the baby. Keys to the drugs and the baby.
You can
fit your kids
into
it, too.
They don't put the baby through the x-ray. Huh?
Right.
Right? And you can stuck because you carry it through. They let you carry the baby through the metal detector. You stuff a nappy full of coke, you could transport anything.
It's also, plus, think about the bomb potential.
Babies are, you know, first off, I feel like my days of taking things rectally are well in my rectal rear view mirror.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Rectal rear view?
Rectal rear view is I put a Crown Royal sack over my rectal rear view. Yeah. I don't even look at it
in
anymore.
My younger days, yeah.
In your younger days, you're pliable. You know, there's suppositories and hell, they used to take temperatures that way. You're wide open for business back there.
No, I'm
the
sure
man
you were.
Hasn't made you uptight. You know what I'm saying?
I see.
So a few balloons of heroin or what have you. Easily worked up the rectum of a
not so much for an old guy like you. No.
Plus, I would have a look on my face that would be so specific that they could actually know the number of balloons of heroin that were up my ass just on my face. Like you could look at my face and go, that's a 7-balloon face. That's not a 5-balloon face.
Come with us, Mitch Roll.
I actually have a story about this, which is I had a hemorrhoid once, many times. That was just, I was shitting and then blood, and then I was just have to wedge a sheet of toilet paper up there until it clotted, right? That was all it was. They bring in those machines, those x-ray machines, which are really more to catch drugs because no one's going through with guns, right? They're trying to find a wrap in your pocket or whatever. Yeah. That's why they empty your pockets. I empty my pockets. I stand up. I do the thing. Vroom, vroom, goes the machine. And then they go, are you sure you don't have anything in your back pocket? And then it dawns on me, a bloody tissue is wedged in my ass.
Man pond. No.
Right now.
Man pond. Did you tell them?
And I went, and they go, we'll have to see that. And I go, you know.
Did they take you in the back room?
Oh, I pulled it out in front of the queue of people. And like as soon as you bring out
slow
a blood-covered tissue this,
well
they
done,
don't ask any more questions. I could have had as much cocaine shoved up my ass afterwards. They were just like, no, you're fine. You're fine.
Maybe it was bleeding because you'd irritated it because you tried to fit one more bindle of cocaine up there.
They missed the 6-bag face because they were so focused on this. Man pond.
But the shame that goes through your body when they go, you have something in your back. Because that's where they're looking. The x-ray's looking for ass things.
Yeah.
That's a big ass thing.
I had a guy do a sort of a body search because I have our little hernia repair things sometimes will show up, the titanium tacks.
Oh, really?
And I had a guy do the whole, like, I got to check here. It's like,
one of my brothers had
call me by my first name. Drew, I have to check over here.
Oh, yeah, sure.
One of my brothers had a heart defect when he was very, very young, and he had a pacemaker from the age of 14 to 20 or something. Now he no longer has it. He's had surgery, but he had a pacemaker. So can you imagine being like a 16-year-old kid? Every time you got to a metal detector, it was like, I've got a pacemaker.
Sure you do.
He had the shirt off every time he was a kid and show the scar across his chest.
Wow. I had a situation where I was doing crank yankers, I think, in Vegas, and we were kind of partying after that night, whatever. I made everyone go see Siegfried and Roy because I told them, you know, people did that with Elvis, and they made fun of him, and now he's dead, and they wish they did.
And look at what happened to Siegfried and Roy.
It was months later.
Yeah.
Not years. It was months later, and I forced everyone to go. But some guy at some point in the evening hands me a big doobie. Gives me a big joint. And I said, I'm leaving McCarran tomorrow morning, and I don't know what I'm supposed to do with this. But then there's the part of me that kicked in that I hate waste. I hate flushing shit down the toilet. I hate anything that has to do with wasted movement, burnt calories. It to me, I take it to the sun. Mm. The sun hits the earth. The nutrients are in the soil. The water hits the earth, and that marijuana is grown. It's fertilized. It probably has a grow light. It's probably not the sun. It's worse. It's burning kilowatts. Then somebody trucks it somewhere and burns a bunch of diesel fuel, and then some guy rolls it up and makes it into a thing. And if I throw it down the toilet, it's not only is it all for naught, I'm actually burning the energy of the toilet and it going to the sewage treatment facility.
But put it in conjunction with the shit.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, but the shit.
Him's thinking.
Well, yeah, work it in with the shit. You're right.
But you still lost all
right.
that
Eat
cold
it. Oh, no, no. Yeah. No, I got you now. Shove it up your eyes. Oh, no, 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 no. I got it now. Now I got to throw it in afterward. Okay. I had to get there. Took me three steps to get there.
There's always that depressing if you've ever like smoked a cigarette and you've been drunk and you've done that where you smoke it and then you put it down between your legs while you're having a bad
you
shit.
Burn
when
your balls.
When you're hungover and the shit's just alcohol fueled and there's a cigarette in it. Often I think of taking a photo of that just to keep on my phone to remind me of how painful life can be.
thinking of Jim and his condition there, I know a little bit about Jim because I didn't finish my
story. And then you can tell me about Jim.
All right, go ahead.
I put it in my toiletry bag. I put it in my little like vitamin thing and I went to the airport the next day and I sort of wasn't thinking about that much, but I'm like, fuck it, this America. I got a joint. Someone gives me a joint, I'm taking my joint home with me.
What kind of fucked up thinking is that? You're going to get arrested. You're in Nevada. What the hell? We don't know the laws.
You know what? I've taken ecstasy in the line going through security where I've gone, it's still in my pocket. And I like popped it. And that's the worst drug for planes. You're not in love. The fucking air and everything's creepy. And it's not good.
Not good for an airplane.
Person next to you doesn't want to hug you.
They went through my toiletry bag. Just because. And at a certain point, they were like taking stuff out of it. And I was like, oh, shit, if you open that container, there's a big fat doobie. And they never did. But I just thought, look, I want this country to run this way, which is I'm not a criminal. Somebody gave me a joint. I'm a responsible adult. I pay my taxes. I want to bring it home and give it to one of my pot-smoking friends. Why can't I engage in this behavior?
Oh, Jesus.
But all right.
10,000. Oh, man. It is hot out there. But you still need to work out. Still need to break a sweat, and that's where 10,000 comes in. Yeah, you want to focus on your workouts, not your gear. The interval shorts from 10,000 cracked the code somehow. I was sweating my ass off, and then I got the interval shorts, and it's now magically wicked away, as comfortable as they are functional. No bullshit. 10,000 works with top athletes who co-design, test, and develop their gear. They offer free shipping, free returns, and lifetime guarantee. This is really good apparel, and it just makes your workouts that much easier. So get off your ass and get the highest quality, best fitting, and most comfortable training shorts you've ever worn from 10,000, right, Gary?
Get 15% off your purchase. Go to 10,000.cc/ADS. That's TENTHOUSAND.cc/ADS to get 15% off.
Tell me the Jim Jeffries story now.
Oh, I was just thinking, what do you imagine Jim studied in college? Just based on his history, his humor, and his... I just think of the description of him taking a shit hungover.
Like how to shame his morbidly obese mother in tears?
He became very good at that.
I took a course in that, but that wasn't my major.
Mm, what was your major?
Musical theater and opera.
Oh, opera.
Isn't that crazy? Mm-hmm.
Drew loves musical theater and opera.
West Side
well.
Story's coming to town.
I know that.
If you want to get tickets,
I wait. Like music.
You, me, and Seth MacFarlane, man. We're going to go see some musicals together.
West Side Story, they never did better than West Side Story.
Three amigos. I don't think so either.
You know, that was the best musical.
I completely concur, and I probably have it. The overture, at least for it, on my iPod, and I love it. And I, you know, maybe we hit a zenith with that stuff, and it's never going to get any better.
It was a great American, craft at the time. I mean, it's not that in demand anymore.
Yeah, that was it.
But the Les Mis thing might bring it back into cinema a bit more.
Well, it's the British bringing it all around, though. You know, that's isn't it?
Don't you guys
still? What's
I thought Moulin Rouge was the first step. Getting it back onto movies.
What is going on? What's going on with the electronic music that is just taking over this society? Just that sort of pumping electronic. Now it goes through
cycles though, because that was right up until about, especially in Britain, right up until like 1994 or 1995. All it was dance music and everyone taking pills.
Yes,
and then
right.
The Stone Roses came in, and then Oasis, and everyone got back into guitar bands, and then Blur, and then it went through Britpop. Was the era, and now it's come back to this shit.
But I'm not talking about what's being played on the radio. That's always going to be a cyclical thing. I'm talking about every entertainment show, every radio show comes back from break with this syntho pump up the jam kind of bullshit. it's shitty music, and it's you don't notice it anymore because it's ubiquitous. But watch Entertainment Tonight,
yeah,
and you'll just hear nothing but this driving. I mean, they'll be talking about the passing, the tragic passing of Larry Hagman. It'll be like pumping in the background. Like, this is appropriate music for the passing of Jerry Ewing.
It was a techno version of Andre Magini.
Yeah, it was a touching memorial to the great man. Well,
America's the home of the graphic, right? And right. I've lived here long enough that I've become immune to it. But every time I have like a family member come and visit me, they start laughing. And I remember when I first got here, it's really with sport when they go. Even like on Monday Night Football, they have that big transformer robot that goes,
sure.
And then it goes, quarterback, statistic,
right.
And that doesn't happen in the rest of the world. You just get used to it, like, oh, that's how you display someone.
Yeah. Well, no, that's how you learn to tune everything out because there's too much coming in, so you have to start repelling. So you start tuning, you start pushing away, and then that's fine, and then you get behind the wheel of a car.
Yeah.
And the light changes, and you're sitting there motionless because you've learned to tune out all that comes in through your eyes in your windshield. The what drives me nuts with all the fucking information, which I don't get, and like there's scrolls on top of scrolls. There's like three, four high. I tune in. You know, I like football. But I don't watch every game on Sunday, and I tune in on Sunday night to catch the highlights to see who won. And they'll do that thing where they go, we now go to New England, Jets playing at New England, Tom Brady not playing, so we got a barn burner here. But underneath the scroll, it says Patriots win 37-21. And I'm like, what? I just saw. So I literally am holding my hand.
Right.
It's like when it's what happens when I have to walk through the gay porn section at the rental place. I physically have to hold my hand in front of me.
They used to have rental places for porn.
They used to rent porn. But I have to hold my hand in front of the scroll because the guy who's doing the announcement saying, and the game everyone has anticipated, Dallas at the Giants, that's coming up after the break, except for the fucking scroll of the final is going underneath. Now, why do you fucking scroll? You're doing a program that basically is teasing things, saying, you want to know? You want to know who won the big one? You come back after this Budweiser commercial, except for I know who won the big one because I just saw on your network, not another network, I saw the scroll.
Right.
So that's it's like if you're making a movie, would you have a scroll that the janitor did it?
Yeah, you
know what I mean? Like, and by the way, how far away are we from scrolls in movies?
We're not far.
I don't feel like we're that far. We could hit a movie scroll soon.
I don't think FX do it, but I hope one day I get to do one of those. Coming up next, legit, and just me and another character rotating around, you know, like down the bottom of the screen, or me just shaking my head, looking at Billy in the wheelchair. I want to do one of those.
Yeah.
I want to experience how mundane that must be.
You know you've arrived when it says an all new legit, not cobbled together from outtakes from other episodes, not partially new.
I have an idea for season two, which is... Sometimes you'll write like a whole storyline and you'll go, I'm happy with that. And then sometimes you write like, I've got this gag and this situation and it's about 2 minutes long. And maybe we can throw it in somewhere or maybe we can expand it. And so I've got about 10 or 15 of those that I've never figured out where to put them or whatever. I'm thinking of having a clip show where none of the clips are from the series.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, hey, remember when we all went to the water park? And then we'll just show a new clip so I can fit in all these things.
Yeah.
So that when someone watches that episode, they're going, I've missed like 10 fucking episodes.
It's good.
Right. I like it.
Yeah. I had speaking of just like popping up and fucking things up, Gary, remember I was complaining that
slow down. Adam complaining?
I had commented on the fact that I'd seen Modern Family. And they were telling a joke about OCD or something like that at the top. We have to kind of figure this one out. But there was a joke, and it was during these. Now what they do is they start the show.
Yeah.
And then the network does their little blings, like, in between. Like, they just pop stuff in. And the joke was a joke about the pretty girl who was the horrible student, and it was an ADD joke. During the show, right at the top of the show, as the mom was making an ADD joke, a little thing popped on the screen that just said AD, and it just went bing. And I thought it was some sort of weird stylized thing, like in
AD.
In Pulp Fiction, when Uma Thurman went, "Don't be a square, man,"
right.
It actually drew the square. It didn't bump you. It was like weird animation in the middle of your super serious, interesting movie. She went, "Don't be a square," and it just went on there and then just kind of went bling. And so she said, "I hadn't seen it in like an episode." So I tuned back in and she made an ADD joke when AD popped on the screen. And I was like, what are they doing? Well, the AD thing was some sort of advanced hearing thing, like now in Spanish or in whatever. It just happened to coincidentally was supposed to run 20 seconds into the show, like now with HD or now in Spanish or whatever. But this was some sort of for hearing impaired or something. But it literally stepped on an ADD joke by saying AD. You can watch it. You can go to what's our website, Drew?
Want to see Are we Adam, talking Adam about the really hot girl of Modern Family?
Yes,
Honey,
you'll watch it.
What is all this?
Hey!
Hey, Mom, I'm trying to write this stupid college essay question, and I really don't even know where to start.
Okay, what's the question? Tell me.
What's the biggest obstacle you've ever had to overcome? Didn't my third grade teacher say I had, like, ADD or something?
Oh, no, honey. She said you couldn't ADD. She put it that way because she also knew you couldn't S-P-E-L-L.
That's
Wait,
crazy.
Slow down. Oh,
they had a great joke there. They had a funny joke. But this AD thing popped on 2 seconds after she said ADD. And I just was like going, what?
What was that all about?
And not only that, but if you were the guy who wrote the joke, which was a funny joke, wouldn't you be kind of pissed off that the network kind of stepped on your shit, your good joke at the top of the show?
And I like the way the AD, the D had multiple sort of... like it could be
I
like having a little bleep, like pay attention.
I was just sitting there staring at it going,
missed the joke.
Well, now we need to hear again because it's a funny
I know the joke. She said, I can't focus, didn't my
third grade teacher
help? What is all this?
Hey
Mom, I'm trying to write this stupid college essay question and I really don't even know where
to start. What's the question? Tell me.
What's the biggest obstacle you've ever had to overcome? Didn't my third grade teacher say I had, like, ADD or something?
Oh, no, honey. She said you couldn't ADD, and she put it that way because she also knew you couldn't S-P-E-L-L.
Wait, slow down.
And strangely, the joke went through.
Drew just stepped on.
Well, no, the volume went down during the joke.
Yeah. She said you had ADD. She said you couldn't add. Basically knew you couldn't spell. That was the joke. But completely stepped on by the weird AD and all the whatever. And, here's another part that's going to be shocking you, Drew. Most everyone I know watches this show, and I brought it up to everyone, and they're like, I have no idea what you're talking about. Yeah. And I thought, well, we've successfully tuned everyone out of everything all the time. Nobody.
It's your hypervigilance and stuff.
Nobody knows anything about what they do. No one has any idea about anything. And I don't know what we do to wake people up, but we don't talk about waking people up.
No.
We talk about society. We talk about guns. We talk about, you know, how many clips, how many rounds can be put in a clip. We talk about education. We talk about the ozone and climate change and stuff like that. What we never talk about is wake up, people. And we don't have that. And we're
focus. Hey, man, focus.
Well, there was a time where
don't you think that it works better for people who I'm not saying I'm super focused, but I'd call myself a hardworking person. Isn't it easier to get ahead in life when everyone else is sleeping?
Oh, not only sleeping, but just fucking stupid and making horrible. Like it's great when you're working at a place and the guy whose job you won is saying to the boss, "You're not the boss of me, okay? You don't understand." And then you're going, "Good, keep talking, dude.
Yeah.
I'll take your place in a second."
Yeah,
it is nice that everyone is super lazy and not only bad at what they do, but has an attitude about it and lethargic. And I've seen it. I've seen Jimmy Kimmel just rise right up through the ranks because he was like, I'll stay after and edit this thing and produce this thing and put this thing together while everyone else was going, hey, I'm not getting paid to do this shit or that's not part of my whatever. Yeah. It does make it easier for the people with just a little bit of focus.
I think Kimmel does the best show out of a lot of them, out of all the Tonight shows. I think he does the best one.
He does. Mm. And but what made him get there, because when I met him, he was doing sports locally on the radio station, was that he would go, yeah, I'll show up early and get this together, and I'll stay late and work on it. Mm. And he never asked for any extra money. And since everyone else, especially a lot of comedians, a lot of writers, a lot of people like that, a lot of them are some of the laziest people you've ever met in your life. And there's a lot of them that are like, I'm not working for free. Like, I'm not, like, you know, Kevin and Bean did the Christmas album every year. Jimmy produced it. Jimmy wrote all the bits. Jimmy did all of the stuff. He wasn't really part of his job description, but he did it, and he never got paid for it. But now he amassed the skills to produce, to write, to create. So in a way, he was training for like the Man Show and then his show people, before that.
A lot of people, whatever they're doing, they did it for a long time for free. I did radio for 10 years for free, essentially for free.
Yeah, we don't have any of that for frees anymore. Yeah. And it's a bad thing for society, but it's a good thing for all of us.
Well, everyone in America is middle management.
Right.
Or thinks they're middle management. No, right. No one's a grunt. No one's a...
Speaking of radio, I wanted to bring up a topic. I was trying to explain to Jim what was going on. Jim's very hooked in with Opie and Anthony.
Mm-hmm.
And you had a little thing with one of those guys. Can you explain that to him again? Because I don't remember exactly what happened or why it went so bad. He says he's never... Jim says the guy doesn't ever mention it.
He's never mentioned it
to me. Was it Anthony was the one that was so weirdly...
I don't know. I don't remember. Well, all I remember is, and we can probably... Gary, he could probably dig up the clip. Nice job. Nice job with the Modern Family thing, by the way.
Yeah, that was good.
I was on the internet looking for something else, and I was looking for something, and I ran into this thing that says Opie goes on tirade about Adam Carolla. And I was like, I don't know why. I don't know what that was. So I listened to it because I never had any interaction with them.
Right.
And Anthony, I think Anthony, I ran into after a party at, we did the Hugh Hefner roast for Comedy Central in like 2002 or something. And at the after party, he just came up and introduced himself. And we talked for like 20 minutes at the bar, and I told him I like radio, and we talked about radio. And I said that Jimmy likes your show a lot, because Jimmy did his show a lot, but I wasn't in New York enough, and I'd never heard the show, and I'd never done the show because I was never in New York. So some years later, I think Opie came over to our radio show, and with my former manager, former agent, radio agent, brought one of his clients, which was Opie. He brought with him to introduce him to me and Drew, because I think he liked Loveline.
Mm.
And he came in, I guess, probably during a commercial break or something.
No, I remember we went out. I remember he was sitting sort of on the side there.
Yeah.
And we said hi to him. How are you doing?
Said, how are you doing? And I remember saying, it was right when he was suspended, but he was still getting paid.
Oh, yeah, they were out for like a year or something.
Years or something. I told him that was my dream, was to get suspended at full pay. So good job, you know. So that was our interaction, right?
Yeah.
Then we went back in and we just did the radio show like we do. It would happen a lot. People... This is our radio agent bringing another one of his clients. So it's like he's not some guy off the street. This is Bob Eatman, our radio agent, brought one of his other clients who I knew. I mean, I didn't know the guy, but I knew the show. And, oh, this is Opie of Opie. And, hey, how you doing?
Oh, nice, good. Nice interaction. And that was that. And then we had to go back to working.
Certain point, I said, I got to go back and do the show. Thanks for coming. Hang out. Whatever. And so I just went and sat down. And I never thought about it again. And then here, we might be able to find it. His description
of what happened
was very different than what actually happened. At least in my mind, I don't know. I don't remember it. So that's it sounded somewhat familiar to you, Drew.
No, I remember going out and meeting up. I remember it. We was very kind. And we've had a very nice exchange. And then we went back to work.
I've always been a very sweet guy.
Well, here's his interpretation.
Nothing to do with
God. More lies from radio guys. More lies.
Why would it have anything?
I made my opinion because I ran into him in L.A. and he was a complete douche to me. And the reason he was a douche because he is friends with Howard, so he felt like, well, I know Howard hates Opie and Anthony, so I got to not acknowledge this guy. Fucking liars in this stupid business. And his audience will believe whatever the fuck he says. I had no opinion on Adam Carolla until I was out in L.A., and I went by his love lines with our agent, who just happens to be the agent of Adam Carolla. He goes, you want to stop by Love Lines? I'm like, yeah, you know what? I think that Love Lines is a pretty good show. I would love to check it out live. I have nothing better to do. I go there. I sit in another room. He's doing a show through a glass fucking booth. I'm sitting on a fucking couch. He's eyeing me the whole time like, what the fuck? Drew could care less. They go to break. Drew comes out and says, hey, nice to meet you. Adam Carolla looks at me in the eyes and goes, what are you doing here? And walks out and has a smoke. That's where this comes from, you fucking asshole.
What are you doing here? Jim, you know me.
There is two ways to say that sentence. Say, hey, what are you doing here?
there's a couple ways to say it. Yeah. But I was eyeballing him through the glass.
Yeah, we had a thing like this set up, but it was dark in there. We couldn't see who was on the side of the glass. We wouldn't be eyeballing anybody because we don't see shit over there.
Well, I can't pass judgment on this. I'd like to stay friends with all of you.
I'm not in a feud or anything. It's just the way people interpret actual interactions is interesting. To me, no. I find
the Howard and them thing to be a bit odd.
I never get in the middle of that. You know, I'm friends with Jay Leno. I'm friends with Jimmy Kimmel. Mm. I know Jimmy is one of my best friends. He gets into it with Jay. I go look at cars over at Jay's shop. Like no one gives a shit. I don't have a Howard allegiance, open anything. Like first off, I'm too old to fucking take sides. Like, who cares? It's not one direction.
Yeah.
You understand? I'm not going to do the fingernail polish.
I'm a Harry Styles guy. One Direction. Yeah. He's my future husband.
So, but there's an interesting point, which is this: Drew and I. It's how people make you feel rather than what actually transpired.
Sure.
And I was Drew, my wife, Drew's wife, our kids. We went out to a nice dinner the other night, and I brought my gift certificate. I had a gift certificate that was made out to one of my employees here to this restaurant, and Drew had one too. Now, I had come upon my gift certificate not because it was a gift for me. It was a gift that I got one of my employees. Hmm. But somebody had doubled down and got two like $100 gift certificates for them, or $150, whatever it was. So I had on my wife's side of the desk of them in my office was an envelope, and it had the name of Mike Chaffee, was the guy who works for me. And there it sat, just an envelope said Mike Chaffee on it, nothing else, no stamps or anything, for months. And I thought to myself, this is probably something that needs to go to Mike Chaffee that is not going to Mike Chaffee. So I opened it. It wasn't hidden anywhere. It was just sitting out on top of the desk. And out comes the Moza gift card. And I realized, oh, this is Mike Chaffee's. This was supposed to be given to Mike Chaffee for Christmas, but it wasn't given to Mike Chaffee for Christmas. And now I have this gift card that I paid $100 or $150 for, and now I want to use it. Or I either want to give it to Mike Chaffee and tell him sorry for the delayed Chris. You know, it's Easter, but thanks for all the work you did in 2011. Or I want to use it myself. What I don't want it to do is just sit in this envelope, you know. So I set it out on the table, and I set it out on the entry table basically to say to my wife, what are we doing with this card? Is it going to Mike Chaffee? Are we going to use it? Whose card is this? And she freaked on me because in her mind, I had shamed her. What are you doing? This is none of your business. Get out of this. This is between me and Mike Chaffee, blah, blah, blah. I tell people all the time, well, it is my business because I paid for the fucking card. So it makes it my business. But I'd shamed her. Basically, I made her feel a way about herself that she didn't want to feel about herself. She's not a bad person. She was busy. She said she would get to it probably in her mind 100 times and never got to it. Mike Chaffee did get himself a gift card. And it turns out this was just sitting around now. So I said, good. Look, I'm putting it out. Let's just go. Let's go to Moza tonight. Let's go use it next weekend. But I had sort of shamed her. And a year and a half later, we were eating at Moza, and this was a few weeks ago with Drew, and I took out the gift card, and I put it there, and I said, this is a card that was supposed to go to Chaffee, but he already got a card, so we'll throw it in on your gift card. And she said, Adam pulled the card out and started yelling at me.
At the restaurant?
Yeah, that was her interpretation. No, not at the restaurant.
Oh,
her interpretation at the restaurant of what transpired a year ago was Adam pulled the card out and started yelling. Well, Adam pulled the card out. Adam set the card on the entry table, and Adam left. Adam said nothing. The yelling that was coming, that was internal. That was it called shaming, and thus the yelling.
Right.
So it sounded, historically, it goes down like this. Adam comes storming downstairs, waving waving arms above head and screaming about a $100 gift card. Reality is Adam sets gift card by keys.
Says nothing.
And says nothing. Right. But it felt, and I understand this. This is how people are wired. It felt to Opie like I was yelling at him or dissing him or whatever, which is fine. I understand it takes place all the time. But we do, as a society, need to have certain guidelines when somebody is yelling at you versus you internally yelling at yourself or is saying something rude to you versus being friends with Howard Stern but not saying something rude to you. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's also in your head sometimes. I think in my head that I speak very politely. And I get pulled up by my girlfriend often that she says I'm extraordinarily rude to people in shops and things. And in my brain, I don't think I am. But I will go like hold up a thing and go, what does this cost? Right? Which is very rude just to like point a person at that.
Go,
but in my head, I'm going, excuse me, I'd like to inquire on the price of this thing. That's how I think I'm talking.
Right.
And she pulls me up and sometimes I look back at it and go, oh yeah, that was rude. And I have to work at it because it's just a phrasing thing.
Yeah. No, and there is how we sound and like I said, there is a, what are you doing here? And there's a, what are you doing here? All right, should we take a couple of phone calls here, Dr. Drew, just so we
I like talking to Jim so much.
Say we did it? I know, but let's power through a few of these. So I feel bad. Sister-in-law, 31, Texas, chain smoker, just diagnosed with breast cancer.
Okay.
Michael?
Yeah. Michael?
Hi, guys.
You want us to build a time machine, and what should we do?
Well, we've all kind of, like the family, mutually agreed that, you know, it might be a good idea to say something like, stop fucking smoking, you have cancer. But nobody really knows how to approach it.
Have her doctor do it. He or she will automatically. And there's literature that shows that the physician saying it has a significant impact.
But also, cigarettes and smoking and breast cancer aligned. I thought it was only the lung and the heart.
No, breast too.
Well, it's everything. Yeah. But if you get breast cancer 31, you're predetermined to get breast cancer 31,
but cigarettes may have pushed it along. Right?
Well, here's the thing: all the more reason to stop.
Right,
this. You're sort of have a pre-existing propensity to get cancer. You know, maybe you should just stop smoking altogether.
And the physician can get the nicotine replacement and then help and whatnot.
Right, so physician,
get the oncologist to bang her over the head.
Matt, he's wondering if he's mentally ill because he's very self-destructive and keeps ruining good things.
Matt.
Hey guys, how's it going?
You have the Jim Jeffrey syndrome.
I love your comedy, man.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
In a nutshell, that's it. I'm 40. I've got 3 kids. Separated my wife the second time, but you know, if there's something good in my life, I'm going to find a way to go out and actively fuck it up.
Just relationships?
It's something that I've done since I was a teenager, and somehow, some way, I'm still alive and relatively healthy. So,
just relationships or everything?
Yes.
Oh, relationships, jobs, friendships. I've managed to hold on to one good friend my entire life, but you know, I don't have any other close friends.
What do you do for an occupation now?
Say it again, I'm sorry.
What do you do for an occupation now?
I am
activities director
out of working in the just out of working in the media and public affairs.
Fantastic.
I'm
godless
better.
Right now. Sorry, better. Whatever I could have come up with.
What does that mean?
Yep.
Media
Arkansas.
Enough. I don't know.
The media affairs in Arkansas.
Bustling yeah, I'm a Metropolis. Public affairs flat, man.
All right. So, Matt, now that you're 40, why don't you stop doing all the things you did before you're 40 or 41. You know what I mean? I mean, catch yourself in the middle of being a douche, you know, or destroying something or sabotaging something. See what I'm saying?
I see what you're saying, but I see myself doing it and I go, the right thing to do is one thing, the wrong thing to do is another thing. I think I'll have more fun and be more satisfied if I do the wrong thing.
All right, well, then stay the course.
Doing the wrong thing is fun.
Yeah, that'll work
fun.
Out.
No,
it is more fun.
But the regret afterwards is substantially worse than the fun was fun.
Eating fudge is more fun than running on a treadmill, right? But, yeah. All right, that's it. So going the route of fun is not a good thing. But going the route of satisfaction, you see, it's weird because people say to me all the time, hey, doing that event or that thing, that whatever it is you did, it sounds like fun. Sounds like fun. Sounds like fun. It's weird how we've replaced fun with satisfied.
Yeah.
We've done way too much of it. You having fun out there?
Yeah.
It sounds like a good time. You having fun? You enjoying having fun? And I tell people, you know, doing something, you know, entering an amateur boxing tournament or doing a celebrity car race or doing a vintage race or something, it's not really fun. It's satisfying. It feels good that you accomplished
because
when you're done.
The whole idea of nourishing yourself has been replaced with this idea of happiness.
Yeah, which, it could be fun.
So euphoria replaces satisfying and nourishing.
Yeah, like, you know.
And euphoria, heroin addicts, euphoric.
Right. Like people, you're going to do a one-hour comedy special, Jim Jeffries. That's fun. Sounds like fun out there. Nothing's fun. It's a whole shitload of hard work.
It's like you've done this as well, throwing out the first pitch at a baseball game.
Yeah.
And at the end of it, you have an accomplishment, but it's a fucking nightmare walking out there.
Not fun.
It's as scary as it gets.
No, especially I've done it. I've bounced the ball like 3 times in a row.
Before you go to the next guy, Matt, the deal is you have conscious awareness of the behavior at the moment where you have an opportunity to make choices. That's an unusual insight, and you are actively choosing to make the wrong choice. I'm not sure that's treatable. Mm-hmm. If you can go work with somebody so they can sort of point it out to you as you move into it and support you in making a better choice. But if you insist on continuing to make the wrong choice, well, as Adam says, you're going to stay the course.
All right. Let's talk to Katie or Kate. Kate?
Kate?
23, calling from Maryland. All right. Mm-hmm. I don't know what happened to Kate.
Andy.
I'll go to line one. Andy.
Hi.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, yeah, I called for something else, but I got a text message while I was waiting for you. My brother, he's in this relationship with a girl for about 6 months now, and it's his first real girlfriend, and he's really changed the kind of person he is to, you know, kind of a douche.
Mm-hmm.
And the text that I got, he was planning on going to get a ring for the girl, and she actually also happened to be my roommate, so I'm caught in this love triangle about how do I go about bringing it up that maybe it's not the best idea?
What, how old is he?
She's with your roommate?
No, he's dating my roommate, yeah. And he actually just moved away to Boston. He was my roommate as well. It's kind of a confusing situation, but he's 24.
But are
he's
you 20, having sex with her too?
No, I am not.
What about your brother?
I'd assume so.
Well, I know, why is this a love triangle?
Maybe I just did the wrong thing.
Because there's three people.
This is a love. That's a love ruler. Listen, there's three of us in this room. That doesn't make it a love triangle.
Not yet.
Yeah, but we've all been in love at different times. So.
That's true.
Yeah,
all right.
I like that. I love ruler because they all know what's happening and they're all thinking this.
That's right. It's a straight line. So, Andy, I would not get involved.
Yeah.
That's what I would do.
It's not your business. You can.
Everyone, this impulse, look at it. I'm telling you, people, if it doesn't make you money and it doesn't make you happy, just shut the fuck up. People tell me stuff all the time. I don't say a fucking word. Even my wife gets mad at me. Like, how come you didn't tell me that so and so was getting divorced? And I was like, you know why? No upside. Potential downside. Because I tell you, you tell somebody, it gets back to somebody, then somebody's yelling at me. You said, I told you not to tell anybody. It's like, there's no, and by the way, there's no good for you either. You finding out that so-and-so's getting divorced, not going to make your day any better. It's not going to make you any taller, your tits any firmer. It's not going to do anything for you. So you shouldn't even want to know. I don't want to know. I wish I didn't know. But this notion of in your 20s, like you want to get in between relationships
and the drama.
Mix it up, please. And all that kind of stuff. It translates into countless hours lost, not a penny earned. Yes. And if you do enjoy it, there's something wrong with you.
Right.
All right. A happy note to go out on. Dr. Drew and I doing our reunion tour Yeah, we'll have to work the, we'll have to do the math on this one, I think, fellas. If you want to, and I'll tell you about that in a second, you want to support the pirate ship, you can support it by clicking through the PayPal. Drew, would you look up and see what that word is? App? Drew? Something?
On our site. PayPal button on our site.
Ah, there you go.
Button.
Couldn't read it.
Yeah. The site is adamanddrdrewshow.com.
And a little donation would go a long way over here. And also, you can click through the Amazon link at www.adamanddrdrewshow.com. Drew and I, Friday, we're doing a, not Drew, screw Drew. We're doing some live podcasts in Phoenix, right? Santa Fe? Oh, there it is. Got it all worked out. There we go. Phoenix, two live podcast shows, Friday and Saturday. That's April 5th and 6th. And then Dr. Drew and I performing at the Redondo Beach Performing Arts Center. That is Saturday, April 13th. All right. Jim Jeffries. Forget about us.
I'm performing.
He's got shows.
Somewhere.
Silver Legacy Casino in Reno, April 6th. Foxwoods Casino, Connecticut, April 13th, and of course, the show Legit airs Thursday, 10:30 on FX.
I command everybody.
On FX.
Command everybody to watch Legit. It is one of the best shows on television, best comedies, and one of the really the most interesting exploration of people with disabilities. And honestly, the cast has cognitive and physical disabilities. And they're allowed to be people with those, particularly males, with the young males with those disabilities. It's a fascinating exploration.
All right.
But it's also funny.
It's funny as hell. It's funny as hell. I've got my family into it. And you're always asking me to talk. When I try to talk, God damn it, you won't let me do it.
Who the fuck said, I got to get out of here? I'm on a schedule
I gotta
this
get
morning.
Out of here. One more thing. When our next podcast, this will be investable time in this show, right? All right.
You're talking to me? You sit around and text on your phone all fucking day.
I want to do – I've got a piece of paper from an old Loveline day I found in a box in my garage, and it's about phenomenon we've lost from the 70s. There's been a lot of Twitter action about us doing more shit about the 70s. Mm-hmm. This is all stuff that used to be on television. It was great comedy on television from the 70s that's been lost to the ages.
All right. We'll bring it up.
I'll bring up this piece of paper. We'll go through it next episode.
All right. So until next time, Sam Crawford, Jim Jeffries, Dr. Drew – and myself, you see. Jim is waiting. Take his headphones off.
Good night and good evening.
Sing. Mahalo.
Do you own? Do you rent your home? Sure you do. And it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you have so much to do already around your home. Why not make it easy? Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
All month long, the biggest movies are streaming free on Pluto TV's Popcorn Summer Movies. Watch star-studded blockbusters like Titanic and Transformers Revenge of the Fallen. Or fall in love with charming rom-coms like Hitch and How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. The best part? Pluto TV is 100% free. No credit cards, not even a sign-up. Plus, Pluto TV has hundreds of channels with thousands more movies, TV shows, and more. Download the Pluto TV app on all your favorite devices and start streaming now. Pluto TV. Drop in. Watch free.